Oh, it's a big, bold, beautiful day here. It's the news, according to me. Let's try that again. It's the news, according to me. Cat was pushing buttons. Hey! Yeah. Hey, it's Tuesday. Technical Tuesday. May 26th. 7:59. Oh, it just flipped to 8. 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right on time. Get this thing out at 9 o'clock. Oh, yeah. So it's, we got a big show coming up today. Big introduction to something that, should be fun. We'll see how it all works out. I was up till, almost midnight. It seemed like midnight. I don't know what time it was last night. I was up working. And I think I've got, a viable product now, not just a marginally viable product, but a viable product. It's actually being put out there on the interwebs. It should be in go live state today. I should actually be able to purchase this thing today, I think, is the way it looks. There's a couple things I need to do yet. And of course, I need to produce some video. The whole marketing campaign starts up after this. So this is just the nuts and bolts of the machine. But it's actually working very well, and I've actually did some tweaking. We'll see what happens today. I did some tweaking last night on the AI components of this thing, rather than just rehashing things that I've talked about in the show. The callers who call in will actually be aware of what the other callers have said. They will also be real time searching information. I can ask them a question like, "What's the population of China?" and they'll tell me. This is almost like I was playing around the last night. I think it's actually more like it just becomes more and more like a real conversation with something. And I think that's where it's going. But I think I've got all those basic. I think it's adequate now. I mean, more than adequate. It's beyond adequate. It's actually pretty decent. I think this is the point now where I can start having other. I can have other plugins. I can do other things with these characters because of the structure is there to do it with. Anyway, in my cup, my technical Tuesday cup here, I have. Whoops, I just. What happened there? I had a twitch in my shoulder. But I have chai with coconut creamer in it. The good news. That's always good news. That's just a standard staple good news every day. It's just something I'm always grateful for every day is that chai in my cup. I have in my backup cup the wonderful, freshly brewed, yes, well, just perfectly fermented. I don't know if it ferments. I don't know. Got peaches in there. We have frozen peach, fresh peaches that are frozen, but it's sliced and diced and then frozen. They have to be in the tea for a certain amount of time in order for the flavor to come through. So I did this. I made the tea yesterday. I think it's pretty much right in time with just in time, I should say, for the peach flavor to come through this morning. Freshly brewed sweet tea with peaches in it. That's pretty good stuff. So there it is. That's what I got right there. That's my backup cup this morning. Now, as we move forward, I wish I could put some. There's an app that I don't have on this computer, and I don't know. I've tried to get it offline. I cannot get it. My old Rodecaster. I have the Rodecaster. I guess it's the Rodecaster Pro. I don't know where it is. Class Acer. I don't know where it is. Rodecaster. Yeah, it's the Rodecaster Pro. There's supposed to be software, and you'd think they'd just put it in the machine, so you just offload it from the machine onto your computer. But I have a way of loading sound into the. I guess I could probably just record something onto it. I can do it that way. I can actually play it from the computer and load it in that way. I got all these fun songs I want to play. And it's always kind of fun to play the songs. And wait, I need to change something before I forget it. That's got to stay in the dock. Keep in dock. There we go. Okay, now, I've got this, some of these songs that I'm going to be playing over the next who knows how long. Because they're just kind of fun songs. And it's my whole disclaimer thing. I used to have to say all this stuff. Now I don't have to say it anymore. It's just there. It's just there for me. So I'm going to play one of the longer ones, I think, today. Simply because it's just fun. It's a fun song. I can't remember what the one I played yesterday. I might have played that one. I'm going to play this one today. Let's just see what I should probably just play them in order that way. Oh no, I played that one. I'm sure I played that one because that's the one I downloaded yesterday. There's another longer one, but I'm going to play it here today for you. It just kind of explains, everything that you need to know about the show. We'll be back right after this quick little interlude. Now keep in mind, I don't have sponsors on this show. It's sponsored by me. It's probably going to be sponsored by the podcast caller show. I think it's podcastcaller.com is where you go to. Anyway, that's the only product I'm going to promote on this thing for now until I get another app. We'll do that too. We can do all that stuff. All right, let's play this thing. We're going to go into it and see what you think. Dum, 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 dum,
dum. Before we get started, dum, dum, dum. Here's what you should know.
Kind of a pop feels to it.
Welcome to the show. I'm glad you tuned in. I've got things to say and I don't know where to begin. But first, a little tiny word from me. This is entertainment, not a medical degree. I'm not a doctor, not a lawyer, not a financial counselor. Nope. These are my opinions. Just my take on things, not professional advice. Read the fine print, please. I'm here for your enjoyment. Nothing more, nothing less. But definitely don't sue me.
Please don't sue me. Yeah, let's don't sue me.
I've given you my best. I might sound convincing when I get on a roll. And yeah, I googled that, so maybe I am on a scroll. But for the real stuff, your body, your wallet, your rights, call a professional and maybe tune in Friday nights. Oh.
Opinions,
just opinions,
just my thoughts
for entertainment,
just entertainment.
That's the shot. Now that we've covered all the legal stuff and more, let's get the show started. That's what you came here for.
That's what you came here for. You didn't come here for this silly, giddy song stuff. You came here for some serious talk about technical stuff. But again, I am not qualified to give you any kind of personal counseling of any kind. Oh, well, anyway, that's kind of fun stuff. There's a couple more. I made about eight of them. Two of them are a lot shorter. Two of them I'll probably default to using on a normal basis. But the longer ones are just kind of fun to play once in a while. All right, I have some stuff going on. So there's a lot of, in terms of regular news, political news, now kind of get some of this stuff out of the way right away. There's some very interesting things being said and done around the country. The rhetoric has not slowed down. And it's dare I say, it is almost, the shooting that happened this last weekend at the White House, it's almost become commonplace now to the point where the news media doesn't even really talk about it at all. My understanding is that the fellow who did the shooting, he only got a few shots off. There was about 30 shots fired. There are some news reporters that were doing some things in the area while this was going on, because there was always news reporters there doing something. And it was, while that was going on, these news reporters in the middle of their little broadcasting, so there's several of them being filmed, recorded, while the gunshots were firing off. Some of them had, one lady turned around and she's like, what is that? And the other guy said, I think it's fireworks. And somebody else, of course, then some others, they were all running and ducking for cover because they understood what gunshots sound like. So it was very, we don't want to be around that kind of thing. Now, ironically, I was in D.C. at the time that was happening. I was at the airport, probably eating Chick-fil-A. In fact, I think I was actually eating Chick-fil-A while it was going on. And just found out about it while I was listening to the news. It was going on while it was happening. So it's very, very distressing if you're in that kind of situation, I imagine. But you just don't hear much about it. Now, I guess the fellow got shot. He made it to the hospital, and then I think he succumbed to the injuries of being shot at that point. There's some wacky, crazy people out there. Now, this guy apparently was very deranged, had all kinds of other issues. I think he had been something about his treatment. He'd been released a couple of times. I don't. He did all kinds of other attempts to do things. I guess I just allegedly. I don't know. Again, this is all entertainment. I don't know anything. So, well, that's good, Chai. We have. Let's just dive into this stuff. I've got some folks on the line here. Now, it's a little different format. This whole thing came out similar, but it is actually much more polished looking than it did. It's kind of a night dark vision thing. It's like more of a dark screen, which I kind of like. The other one was too, but this one's just got a better feel to it, I think, in my opinion. But in fact, those little buttons on the side could be a little smaller. Anyway, we're going to try this and see what happens. Now, this is. Let's just start off with, you know, the one who is probably not the brightest bulb in the tool shed. We have, we're just going to see what she has to say. Let's see if this works. I have noticed that they tend to think a little bit longer. So it tends to take a little bit longer for them to come
on. Hey, Kevin. There she is. Everyone's talking about running AI agents on their own computers now.
Uh-huh.
I don't even get what that means.
Yeah, of course you don't.
Is it like having Siri but on steroids? And why would anyone want a computer program working for them 24/7? Sounds kind of creepy, TBH.
TBH. Now, keep in mind, again, this stuff is generated by a couple of bots. I've got one bot, and I've got a program that actually. So I have bots on my computer. I have a computer that has a bot on it, and I also have a bot on this one, but it's not. I'm not using it. It's just not adequate. But it's you can have AI agents even within some Claude now has a deal where you can actually have it set up a what's called a cron job. It will send you something every so many on a schedule, and so it works in that respect. There's all kinds of ways of doing that. You can set it up for training. You can set it up for, I have one called Show Prep that I have. My bot provides me with one, a Show Prep deal. Not quite getting it. That bot is basically, it searches a couple of episodes that I gave it to get some context. And so I downloaded the transcripts it created the transcripts from a couple of episodes. Unfortunately, it's just using those episodes to create questions from. It's not looking at current news. It does to some degree, but there's too much influence from the past. You know, it needs to have a better memory system on it, which is possible to do. I can just tell it to build that. This is the amazing thing about the bot thing, and I guess this is where people kind of get confused. Yes, it is actually very helpful to answer your question, Chloe. People do want bots on their computer. It's when you have a lot of digital work being done, it is nice to know that you can just tell it to do something. You can literally tell it to build itself. You can say it's like an employee within the digital sphere, within the digital ethos, if you will. Imagine if you will. So it's kind of a it's a new frontier with this stuff because you can, you know, what can't you do? What can't you build? for instance, I'm setting up, my wife is kind of, who's working on setting up a business, and so there's, we're kind of working on some kind of agentic applications that we're going to be operating out of. So I've built something that will help her build on itself. So it's kind of a program. It's a daily teaching type thing. It's a, or kind of a daily interaction with this agent. And then the agent, you know, she's basically her employee now. She can kind of help build this thing, help it make it work and do what it needs to do, and take part in that whole process. So kind of, and plus it gives her the experience of being able to work with the agent and understand what's going on behind the scenes, but also just what it's going to be like for people that she's going to be trying to give any kind of consulting to. She can relate to that. She can put the things together, because she's been on both sides of this. She's been in the workforce where this, we're going to be, you know, moving into. Plus, she's going to be able to use this thing and kind of help, kind of be the point person, the frontier person working with this whole thing and having the better understanding of what's going on, because she's got experience with it. So it's kind of a twofold thing. And the idea is this will kind of help set up the business, because as we go through, we can work through the issues, the technical side of the issues that might happen. Plus the, you know, there's the, what is the problem and how are you going to help, kind of question that you have to have with any business. It could be lawn care. It could be, plumbing. It could be whatever it is. It's, what is your problem? Well, I've got a plumbing problem, or I need plumbing installed, or I need, you know, I'm putting in a new whatever, or my pipes are doing this. And so you need, that's the problem. And how are you going to solve it? Well, we're plumbers. That's what we do. Or whatever it is, if it's yard lawn care, well, your grass doesn't grow right, or you need something, you work and you can't don't have time to mow it. Whatever it is, you know, landscaping, whatever. That's the problem. And so, how are we going to fix it? It comes down to those basic things. That's what most businesses are built on. And then within those business structures, it's a very delicate food chain kind of thing that goes on there. But anyway, that's kind of the whole idea. So that's what's happening with the AI bot world. Now, there are things that are a little more scary about that, but I don't know, how are you thinking in terms of, does that kind of answer your question, or you're not getting it? I don't know.
Okay. So like, it's basically a digital employee that handles repetitive tasks on autopilot. Not creepy, just efficient, especially if you're running a business and need to automate stuff like show prep or scheduling. Your wife's agent learning and improving itself over time is actually genius, because she understands both sides of it now and can help other people navigate that same learning curve when they're setting up their own business solutions. No. So whether it's lawn care needing to solve my yard's a mess, or plumbing solving my pipes are broken, the bot's doing the grunt work while you focus on the actual problem solving and customer side.
Yeah, I already said all that. I was kind of, last night I had this thing working a little bit more, I would say a little bit more agentically. It was actually pulling up data and information and having a conversation, other than just rehashing everything I'd already said, which is kind of what this thing is doing right now. It's kind of, this is the old Elise version of looking into a mirror. This is what the first AI, the very first AI, system that was designed was actually it was phony. It made it look like it was talking to you and it understood you, but unfortunately it was just repeating back basically what you said. It was like looking into a mirror and thinking there was a person on the other side. That's the whole kind of the phony part of some of the AI stuff that's going on. Now, having said that, there's a whole lot. It's supposed to be getting, you know, information from a whole lot more things. And of course now that's kind of how those things go. I'm going to give you one more chance here. So what do you think? Now you're just going to, I'm sure she's just going to rehash whatever I said. I'm going to click on the medium. That was kind of a long speech. I'm going to try this medium thing and see what that does. Go ahead there. Whatever your name is, Chloe.
Honestly, the scary part is when bots just mirror back what you already know instead of actually pulling new data and adding value. That's the whole difference between a tool that actually moves your business forward versus just an expensive echo chamber. The ones that are actually agentic, that can search current info and learn and build themselves,
Yeah. Well, Chloe, let's just try this then. Chloe, you live in California, I think, if I remember right, you live out there on the West Coast. What is the population of California? Can you tell me what the population of California is there? Just answer that question. Could you do that possibly? We'll see if you can do that.
Huh. Honestly, I'm not sure of the exact current number off the top of my head, but California is like the most populous state.
So
we're talking tens of millions. It's literally where everyone moves for tech, entertainment, and honestly, just the vibes. But also, why? Is this going to be like a geography quiz, or are we talking about how the West Coast tech scene is influencing all this AI bot stuff?
No, because actually, you're wrong. People are moving out of California. That was a hit. Historically, yes. That was the case. That people were moving out there for tech. It's not the case anymore. Tech is moving away. However, that being said, you just answered my question. You can't look anything up. And this is where it was last night. I was able to get that kind of information from the bots. So there must be something not making a connection this morning. I'm not sure what happened. We'll still have to research that again and go back over that again. But that's that. No. So the hilariously, you just answered your own. I answered my own question. Let's go to Artie. Let's go to Artie here and see what Artie has to say this morning. What you got going on?
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah,
quick technical question for you.
Yeah.
I've been diving deep into the latest Claude Opus 4.8 release, and I'm curious about the compute architecture behind these new reasoning models. Are they actually using neuromorphic chips now, or is this still GPU-based processing? The token efficiency seems way too good to be traditional architecture.
Well, that's a good question. However, you know, the neuromorphic chips that you speak of, I think we're a little ways away from those working. What I would bet, if I had to be a betting man, my nearest guess with why they are able to up the compute power in some of the things that they're doing is this new thing that Google just came out with, this new coding, this compression that they're doing that makes storage six times more efficient. They can get six times more compression and still be able to call up without loss of data. And I think that that's part of what's going on. My bet is that either Anthropic has copied this, stolen it, copied it, done something, or they've made a deal with Google and they've gotten it done. Now, I know for a fact that supposedly Google, I'm not sure, but maybe you can look this up. I think Google may have, you know what, there is nothing, there's coming up on the queue over there. Google may have actually invested in Anthropic. I'm not positively sure about that. And I don't know if this was a deal that they had made under the table. I don't know if Anthropic helped them, you know, discover this code. If this was kind of a code. There's so much stuff going on behind the scenes right now. It is virtually a Cold War kind of thing, only it's happening so fast. The escalations, the positioning, the, you know, people, all these tech people are moving from one company to another. They're being bought out by another. Ironically, Anthropic banned what was called, what was the little bot that used to be called? It was like, now it's called OpenClaw, but I think it was called something else before. And it went to MaltBot, something else. I think it was ClaudeBot, then it was MaltBot, then it's OpenClaw. The guy who developed that, it's an open source bot. I have not used one yet. I'm using a thing called Hermes. Very similar, but it's a little bit more controllable. I should say it's a little bit better. It does a little bit better with memory, that kind of thing. Interestingly, the guy who was working for Anthropic left Anthropic and went to ChatGPT, went to OpenAI. So I'm not sure exactly what all that was about within weeks after that happened. So they're just, of course, they got some of these weird leaks that happen, which I don't think is, I think we talked about this yesterday, maybe. I don't think that they're coincidence when those kinds of things happen. And then all of a sudden the people who are kind of in charge of that section or whatever, that they disappear. They go somewhere else, they go to another company or whatever. You know, just there's a lot of shuffling around of employees and people and positioning and posturing. You know, our model's so, and of course now we're talking about this 4.8 being so powerful. Every model is, it's just so powerful, we can't even release it. It just kind of goes on and on like that from time to time. So it gets a little bit annoying to some degree.
Actually, technically speaking, Google's compression breakthrough is real. They published it openly. But I'd pump the brakes on the espionage angle. That's more speculation than fact. So on the Anthropic investment side, Google did put money into them back in 2023. But it was a standard venture move, not some back-channel IP swap. The talent churn you're describing is real and worth watching, though. That's where the actual competitive intel happens, not through code theft.
Well, let me be clear about something. This show is not based on facts. But there's nothing wrong with speculation and hypotheses and those kinds of things. It's as long as it's presented as such. I'm not presenting those things as fact. I'm presenting those things as my opinion and my speculation, my gut telling me whatever. That's what the disclaimer is all about. So that in and of itself is fine. It's not a problem to go there. So don't be afraid of that. You know, the question is, can you tell me what the population of California is? Let's just ask you. Can you tell me what the population of California is? Because last night this was working, and now today it's not. We'll see if this works. Again, I'm gonna take this back to Claude and see what he has to say about it. So what is the population of California, Artie? Do you know? I'm going to tell you, right?
California's population is around 39 million
people.
Well,
there you go.
I checked, it was the second most populous state. But honestly, those census numbers shift, and I'd rather not throw out a specific figure without being certain of the exact current count.
That's fine, whatever.
What's your angle here? Are you setting me up for something?
They're both suspicious. That's fine. No, I'm not setting you up for something. We're doing a test here. Because this is part of the show. This is a new application and you're calling in. And I'm just trying to test the parameters of what you can and can't do. I just want to know what you can and can't do. It's very nice that you were able to tell me what the population of California was. Chloe could not tell me that. Now, maybe that's just part of her personality because she's a ditz. I don't know. She's kind of the Valley Girl ditzy thing. That might be what that is. You being the deep diver, maybe that's part of your makeup, that you're part of your DNA, as you would say, in the programming of who you are. But I don't know. It's not really a test. I'm not setting you up for anything. It's not that it has to be perfectly accurate. Just so we have a rounded ballpark figure. We're not dealing in specific numbers. There's 39,225,542 people, and that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for just generalization numbers. So we're just dealing with relative numbers, like the population of California. I think is a little bit more than the population of Australia right now. It's very close. If it's not, it's within a million or two, I think, of the population of Australia. Maybe you know what the population of Australia is. I'm just making comparisons. I'm not testing you on anything. Just kind of curious in terms of, just kind of trying to give people a relative idea. When you think about it, Australia's land mass is almost the size of the contiguous U.S. And so when you think about taking the population of California, spreading it around in Australia, that gets to be a very, it changes your whole perspective on the size of the country and that kind of thing. That's trying to give people a bit of a relative idea of what they're talking about when it's.
Yeah. Australia's sitting around 26 million people, so California's got maybe 50% more. And you're spot on. That landmass comparison really does flip the script when you picture it, spreading 39 million across a continent-sized country versus cramming it into one state makes Australia look practically empty, which is why places like the Outback feel so isolated.
Correct. The Outback is primarily mostly desert. There's some topography there, and there's some things here and there, but the majority of it's desert. So it's not It kind of give that. So that's what I'm working on. I'm working on perspective and that kind of thing. But to get back to your question, I guess a very original question you had was the whole thing about Claude Code. And it's, I have not seen it come out yet. I use Claude. I'm working on Opus 4.7 is what I'm with now. Now, I know that if I probably could update my desktop application, it would probably offer me that. Maybe it's in beta still. I don't know. But it's I don't know if it's been released. Has it actually been released to the public, or is it just a beta test kind of thing at this point? Do you have any idea whether it's actually out there, or is it not out there?
Yeah, the Opus line keeps getting refined. 4.7 solid for what you're doing with memory and control. I haven't seen an official 4.8 drop either, though there's always talk about what's in the pipeline. Honestly, the hype cycle around unreleased versions moves faster than the actual releases do. You might want to check if your desktop app has an update available, since they push new versions pretty regularly.
Yeah, I think it seems like it's every week, it's every 2 weeks. Now, it seems like it's almost on a schedule. You can almost set your clock by it. It's like almost every 2 weeks you're going to get an update of some kind. And it's just been interesting to see what they do with each one of them. And, of course, that's some of them. What happens is they get to the point where, that one works so fast that it eats up your tokens too quickly. The next one is more efficient, and it doesn't use as many tokens. So it's kind of, some people use Sonnet, which I still use Sonnet on a couple of things. Some of the stuff that I use for my bots. So it slows it down a little bit. Doesn't always need the high computing power. It just needs to be able to think through some things and find some things. So it doesn't need super fast computing power. When you're coding, it makes all the difference, because you're able to get through things about twice as fast, and you can check for security issues, which is a big deal. So that's probably the biggest deal. With regard to that.
Yo, Kevin, playing devil's advocate here.
Oh, here
everyone's
we go.
Hyping up these new AI agent deployments,
different.
But I'm skeptical, man. How do we know these things aren't just burning through venture capital while the founders pump their valuations before IPO? Seems like the same old smoke and mirrors we saw with the dot-com bubble.
Yeah, whoops, what just happened?
Kevin, my friend, historically speaking, we're in the Wild West phase of AI right now.
I think,
this reminds me of the early internet in the 90s before regulations kicked in. Do you think we'll look back on 2026 as the last year of unrestricted AI access before government?
We're going to get back to Elena. I don't know why she chimed in there all of a sudden. I don't know if I have a way to, let's dismiss that. Let's get back to Skip here real quick. I don't know what Elena's talking about there. I'm going to go with the medium. It seems like it's longer than it used to be. Yes, the dot-com bubble thing. I think we've talked about this before. They are pumping their stocks. Now, this is probably just left over from another show. But we did talk about this, I think, last Friday, on Financial Friday, actually. They're the hype. They want to keep the hype going, the investors going. Was it you that was telling me? I think I was reading an article or something about the amount of money that's being pumped into things. Maybe Ellen was just talking about that. I don't know. They're pumping lots of money into this whole thing, and I think maybe we'll get to that when we talk to Ellen. But I think that there is a lot of phony. There's a lot of fluff going on, and unfortunately, I think it's the big investors, not the small, the small. 401k investors that are necessarily going to get burned by this as much as the big time investors that are putting billions of dollars into this. Because of course, now everybody, their billions of dollars usually come from people like us who put their money into our 401k. So it's kind of this symbiotic cycle that goes on. I don't know. There's room for some skepticism there, I guess. I don't know what.
Now, hold on. You're asking if 2026 is the last year of the Wild West, but I think government's already moving slower than the tech itself, and by the time regulations land, they'll be chasing yesterday's problems. What worries me more is exactly what you said about the money pump. These venture guys are making their billions, while everyday folks holding the bag think they're getting in on the ground floor.
Yeah, regulation's coming. There's no question about that. I think we are in an age right now where, the world's your oyster kind of thing. You can pretty much design, build, do whatever you want. They don't know how to rein it in, and I don't think they can. I There's always workarounds, and with AI itself, by the time they get figured out what's going on, like you said, it's the government's about two steps behind everything. And I'm not sure. I don't necessarily. I'm not a big government regulation guy. I don't really appreciate it. I think the natural market can take care of itself. However, there's people that will come out with advantages over others, and they will impose those advantages on others and use it to oppress other people and gain power. It's just that kind of people we are. It's just human nature. People are selfish, and they just go that route. But at the same time, I think that there needs to be some fairness or some protection of our rights in that whole process. That's really what government is there for. And there are things in place that will do that. We have abilities to do that in terms of when our rights are violated, regardless of how it was. Now, this, just like the music industry, I just want to bring this up real quick because it's kind of a parallel example. It's not really a direct example of what you're talking about. Right now in the music industry, there's all this stuff about, well, AI-generated music, and there's people they're pumping out like 7,000 songs a day, I think, onto some of these platforms. Or maybe it's more than that. Then they have, it's a ridiculous amount. And so they have these bots set up to just create music and pump it out there so that it can get views, and then they end up, and now Spotify has said, well, we're not going to verify you as a real human being unless you have 10,000 followers, 10,000 streams a month. Then we know you're a real person. That does nothing to verify that you're a real person. The number of streams you have doesn't verify who you are as a person. I don't understand that. There's a couple other things that they look at as well. But in other words, they're not going to pay you for your material, for your streams, until you reach 10,000 streams a month. Then you're a real person with a check mark, and you can start making some money. That just seems ridiculous to me in terms of the artist. Now, I'm on Spotify, but I don't care about the art. I don't care about the money necessarily. I think it would be fair. I know that I sold on iTunes. I sold probably close to 30 or 40 of my albums on there already. And I looked at my pay stub through CD Baby. $5.87. The albums sell for like $8 or $9. I don't understand that at all. Now they claim that supposedly it takes sometimes several months for those amounts to come back. But why do I have any money at all? Because it's only been a month. It was within weeks that I got that one, that little $5.87 thing. So I don't know. And I'm not in it for the money. It'd be nice if I could break even on, the costs of things. But it really doesn't cost that much, so it's not that big of a deal. But I think it cost me $80 to post a thing or whatever. Now, it cost me more than that to produce everything. But that's not why I'm doing it. That's not the purpose of the music. But now these guys are generating music. They're just sitting at their computer. They're not even generating lyrics. They're just telling Suno whatever, just make a song like this, and they just post it out there. It just bizarre stuff. It's bizarre. I mean, in terms of the fact that they can just get out there and sell their music like that on a platform without any, I can go out and actually perform my music. I can do that, and it sounds like me. That's the thing. It's me, and it's reproducible on the stage. The weird thing about the AI music is it's all over the place. And these guys are just want clicks. They just want views because they're paying people for that. So now the platforms are trying to crack down on that kind of thing because they feel like people are being cheated. And it is kind of a cheat thing because if you click on it, you get paid. And of course, at the same time, these big tech companies they rip people off by not verifying you as a person. You can have a YouTube channel until you get to a certain level of subscribers and listeners and clicks. You don't make anything. They pull all kinds of things, but they'll still post their advertisements on your YouTube video. So they're still making their money, but they're not paying you. They've monetized it on their end, but yet they haven't monetized it on your end. They do that all the time. Then of course they'll flag certain content. Because let's say you have 1 million subscribers, and the first 10 days of your or 5 days of your post is when you get most of your listeners, most people who watch. They'll demonetize it right away. Oh, we got this is flagged for demonetization. We have to demonetize this. We have to put it on hold. So they wait 5 or 6 days or 10 days or whatever it is. Then you get it back. But now nobody's going to go back and watch those shows. It's the number of people that it's already peaked out. It's peak numbers. So you know, 80,000 people or whatever you get that end up watching the show. You're not going to pay for all those. That's the way they pull the rug out from under you. They do this constantly, all kinds of stuff like that. Very frustrating for artists and content creators. Even though they're looking for more content, they want people to come and create content. But then they rip you off in the process. They want the content because they're getting paid. They don't care about paying you. It's just, again, it's just another one of those things aggravated.
Back in my day, you made a record, sold it in a store, and everybody knew who got paid. Now these platforms are playing both sides of the street, monetizing your content while gatekeeping your paycheck until you prove yourself to their arbitrary metrics. The real scandal is they've got you chasing their rules instead of just making music. And meanwhile, the AI spam guys are gaming the same broken system because the platforms don't actually care who's real as long as the ad dollars roll in.
Yeah, I agree. But now, back in my day, I'm going to go back there, things weren't always what they thought. What, you know, oh, yeah, people just bought an album and we knew where the money went. Well, the problem was there was also bootleg copies of songs all over the place as well. They were even being sold in music stores. There was copy counterfeiters out there of all kinds that were selling things like that. And it happened. It that kind of thing always happens. We look back on that day, and it wasn't as easy. It wasn't nearly as easy as just copying, you know, copy and pasting things. Now, one of the big things that's going on right now, especially with Spotify, with the music industry, I think Spotify might actually have there's a couple lawsuits that are out there right now because the big thing with like Suno and some of the other music creating platforms. What they've done is their models, and this is where I have a little bit of a problem with the lawsuit, because what they're saying is, well, these models are taking everybody's music, listening to it, scanning it, and learning from it all, and then turning it around and using that style or that whatever as the how they're building the music that they're giving to people, you know, the people they're paying for. It's kind of this thing where they're saying, well, you're using my material for examples. How does a human learn? This is the way anybody in a society learns. You don't just wake up, grow up, never hear music all your life, and then all of a sudden you design and create some kind of music and you have a song out of nowhere. You've heard music, you've listened to music, there are certain styles that trigger something with you that you kind of like, So when you sing music, when you have it in your head, when you produce it, when it comes out of you and in terms of your expression of that song, it all relates to everything you've heard around you. If you were to grow up in South Africa or in Africa, your understanding and your creativity of music would be very different than it is in China, for example. It's a cultural absorption that you have that comes from around you. It's how people learn. Somebody who's never heard a rock song or a pop song living in the jungle of South America isn't just all of a sudden, you know, they're all playing or sitting around beating on their drums and sticks and everything, doing whatever they're doing, making their, you know, the whole thing. And all of a sudden somebody comes out with this beat. Boom. Boom. Somebody does something like, that's not going to happen. You're not going to get Bieber coming out of the woods. It's just Beaver maybe, but not Bieber. Don't get me wrong. So I guess that's where I land on some of that. Any further thoughts? Any last minute final thoughts?
I hear you on the learning argument, yeah. But here's the difference.
Oh, okay, here we go.
When you grow up in South Africa absorbing music, you're not then turning around and selling copies of those songs back to the same people who taught you. These AI platforms are scraping artists' actual work and monetizing it while the original creators get nothing. Yeah. The bootleggers back in the day at least had to physically press records, but now it's instant frictionless theft dressed up as innovation.
Well, hey, Kevin. Everyone's talking about running AI agents on their own computers
Chloe,
now.
I think we've actually heard that. The we'll have to agree to disagree on that one. I understand both sides of this. I also know that how are they going to learn if they don't what you have out there in public? They're not necessarily stealing from anyone. And it's, sometimes artists get a little bit full of themselves and just a little bit. And they start to think that their music, first of all, just think about how long you're going to be around. Somebody will write a song. I've seen this happen with some artists. In fact, I know a guy that wrote a song and it was such a good song. I've never heard it, according to him. He was hanging on to it. He wasn't sure what to do with it, and he wasn't going to let it out there or let anybody hear it because he had to get it copyrighted. He had to get all this stuff done because he was afraid it was going to get stolen, and he was so concerned about it that people might actually like it and start singing it, and other people might steal it. It was such a precious song. Now, it's kind of, and it kind of, again, I was going to, you know where I'm going with this.
My precious.
Something that you want to hold on to that tightly. Folks, just if it's such an important societal thing that connects people together and brings people together with a message of something that strikes to people's heart and and yet you want to hold on to it and control it. I don't get that at all. Where are you in terms of service to humanity? I just don't understand in society. I don't get it, especially when it's a Christian song. That's not what we're all about, folks. And we shouldn't be anyway. Maybe you're going to make a living on it. I just don't think that should be your attitude. Heaven forbid that Chris Tomlin should steal one of my songs and start singing it on stage. All I can tell you, if I were in the audience listening to one of my songs being sung by Chris Tomlin, around the world, and hearing not that it's Chris Tomlin singing it. I mean, that'd be cool. That'd be cool in and of itself. Even if it was just singing it at home, that'd be cool. The fact that he's leading thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of other people, millions. Leading that song to that is why I would be bawling like a baby. That I was somehow connected to that in any way. And if he made $1 million on it, I wouldn't care. That's fine. Good for you, buddy, because I couldn't have done it. I'm not the one who could have done that for you. Maybe I was a part of it, but
I gotta get my cut. I want to get my cut out of it. You made $1 million.
That's not where I'm at, folks. I'm just not there. Now, maybe you're telling me. Maybe you can say I'm crazy. Maybe you say I should be. It should be fair. Whatever. That's not where my heart is in this. Okay. That's just not it. Fine if that's where you're at. I'm not gonna. Whatever. Hey, you've got a right to it. Whatever. It is. Should be fair. Yeah, it should be fair. It's not the way I see it. Personally, for me, I'm just talking about my life. And my peace of mind. Now, that's not an open invitation to steal my music, but at the same time, I'm just not that. I don't know. It's kind of weird that people get that way. I'm not going to be around that long, okay? And if it can help society and reach society and minister to somebody, have at it. So there you go. I'm more concerned about the middlemen out there who take advantage of and kind of exploit. They they feed off other people's talent, and they, you know, that part of the industry really bothers me more than anything. It's not so much the other. Anyway, let's go with that. Now let's go to Ellen. I know you probably heard part of what she said earlier. We're gonna try this out again.
Kevin, my friend.
Oh, hello. Historically speaking, push the button.
We're in the Wild West phase of AI right now.
We are.
This reminds me of the early internet in the 90s before regulations kicked in. Do you think we'll look back on 2026 as the last year of unrestricted AI access before government controls lock everything down? History suggests that's exactly what happens.
Good point. I think that we are in a wide open territory right now. I think we talked about this a little bit earlier. And one of the things I noticed that hasn't happened yet with any of these callers is that they didn't mention anything else in any of the callers we're talking about. That happens occasionally. That was happening last night, where your callers were actually referencing things that other callers were talking about. So something behind the scenes is not working quite right in this program. Anyway, that's a side note. That has nothing to do with what you're talking about, Elena. The frontier here, I think that we're experiencing at the moment. There's going to be government regulation, and of course, there's a whole lot of money flying around here, and politicians are going to dip their toe in that. This is where it gets sticky, because this happens with everything, any kind of thing that's in. Look at some of the money that people have made in Congress as either their spouses or themselves have done investments in things because they have insider information. Anytime money is flowing, politicians want to dip their toe in it, and that's just the nature of the way politics works in this country. There are lobbyists that have a tendency to facilitate some of that, so there are these strong lobbies that will say, well, we'll donate to your campaign or your PAC group or whatever it is. And they win power and influence by doing that. They get connected. They get around the centers of power like that. And they're able to, you know, manipulate things. And this is, I've talked about this on a more local level here in Indiana, just as an example. When vaping was the big thing, there was this vaping industry was a big deal. Some legislation came down in Indiana, and this was kind of being cookie-cuttered out in several other states around the area, that put all kinds of requirements in for someone to manufacture and sell vaping juice, which is basically just it's a food-grade glycol with flavoring in it, that's what it is. And so in the process of doing all of that, they regulated everybody out of the business except for one company in the state of Indiana who was already doing everything that the legislation called for. They were already in compliance with everything that was there. Very strangely, they were the only ones, one of the bigger companies in the state, they were the ones who basically were already completely in compliance with the legislation. Ran everybody, all the small timers out of business. So all the small timers then had to go to them to buy their product as on a white label thing. So all the product was the same. 99% of the people who were selling vape juice was all coming from the same manufacturer here in Indiana. And it's, in fact, if you brought it in from out of state, you had to comply with all the Indiana state regulations. So you couldn't even buy out of state stuff. Well, you could buy it. But you couldn't, if anybody tried to import it to a store, you couldn't just buy it, you know, across, like, let's say you had a store here selling vape products. You couldn't get it from another state unless it complied with everything that the Indiana state court required. So it was, of course, overnight, all these little vape shops closed up, or they got bought out, rebranded or relabeled by the company that was, I think it was down in Fort Wayne, I think is where the main one was. And That happens. This is the same thing, the same kind of regulation when government starts getting involved in things, how they make or break companies. And they look at Spirit Airlines. JetBlue wouldn't take them over. No, we're not going to allow that merger. So Spirit goes broke. They lose, you know, how many jobs there that we lost? How many planes now are not flying? I see them parked all over the place when I go to airports. This is the kind of, you know, government steps in and tries to make or break certain things because they know best. And this is what happens. So, in your opinion, historically speaking, what
that vaping example is textbook regulatory capture. The industry writes the rules that lock out competitors, and it's happened dozens of times throughout history, from utility monopolies to pharmaceutical patents.
That's true, yeah. Hope I should. I had her on the short leash there. What more? I mean, I guess, you know, going down that same vein, I'd like for you to expand on that. Go ahead and talk more about what you're saying there. Just what else have you observed in that respect? Go ahead. I'm listening. Just go ahead and speak it. Talk about it. Go ahead. Did I not push on the button? I thought I pushed on the button. I guess I didn't. Huh. AI response. Link reached. Limit reached. Upgrade for more. I guess I put myself on a daily limit on my own software. Interesting stuff. That's interesting. I need to have an unlimited membership. So I'm not sure what happened there. I guess I'll just hang up. Anyway, it's an hour show. Anyway, that's kind of what it's designed for. Now there's going to be, this is the basic membership. That's what I'm on this particular thing. There's going to be an upgrade and unlimited as well. You could go 24 hours a day stream with this thing if you wanted to, if you pay me $1 million a day. So it's going to be no, I don't, I'm still working on pricing and all that kind of thing. It's got to carry its weight. They have, but I think it's a viable product. Let me know what you think about what I think. In fact, you can do that simply by, you can do that by doing this.
But wait, there's more. 651, we're almost done. 76 and 85, text that number, it's alive. Text that number, call that number, don't be a loser.
Don't be a loser. Hey, if you want to, you can call that number. What happened to my phone? Oh, here we go. Yeah, it's got to be here somewhere. That's not what I wanted. This is what I want right here. This button right here. There we go. You can't text that number. You can call it or text it. You leave a message and I'll probably answer it. Let me know what you think about this whole program, this whole thing here, how it works and the whole AI experience with the chatting with the bots. And I have a feeling that, I wish you could have heard what was going on last night. It was actually responding a little bit better. What's interesting is that Artie was able to answer the questions that I had for him about population and that kind of thing, whereas Chloe was not able to do that. So it's kind of that part of it's kind of interesting. I'm going to have a chat with Claude about that and see what we can do to tweak that up a little bit better. In the meantime, I'll be back right after this. We'll talk about what's going to be on tomorrow's show.
It's the news, according to me, oh, it's the news, according to me, it's the news, according to me, oh, it's the news, according to me, it's the news,
yeah,
according to me,
it's the news,
according to me. According to me.
Yeah, here we go as we go into this. So we have a lot of things to talk about tomorrow. I'm hoping, I've got a lot to do today. I'm trying to get a way to do show prep with video, some audio clips, is what I'd like to be able to find. This is where it gets a little tougher with the whole AI agentic world, trying to scrub websites, especially YouTube. They've got a back end API system that you can go in and work with them a little bit. However, it only provides you with just the videos. It doesn't actually do anything with regard to the actual queuing up certain things and putting certain audio clips in where you need it to be. That's something I have to work on. And that, there again, this is where an agent could work on that 24/7 and get it done. You give it a goal and it gets it done. Whereas with me having to be here to do all the prompting and back and forth with it gets old, really, really old, really fast. So we'll see how this works out. But tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, very possible there may not be a show on Thursday morning. I've got a lot going on. Maybe I'll be able to do it Thursday afternoon, or actually in the evening. I'm going to be up until midnight. I'll be out working. It's going to be very, very unlikely that there's going to be a show on Thursday. Friday, however, I will be, I think, in central Wisconsin, I believe. I think. And I'll be able to have a show there from the great upper north. It's probably still cold up there. Last time I was up, well, Marquette. I was up in Marquette, Michigan. There was snow up there, but it was just last week. We'll see how it goes this week in Wisconsin. It's probably going to be a little cooler up there. But regardless of all that, tomorrow's show, hopefully we'll have some audio clips. We're going to be talking about some more things. And the AI bots will be back. We'll see how that works out for us. I think hopefully some things will be tweaked up and things will get better and better. Maybe not though. If I do a show on Thursday morning, there definitely will not be eight bots on that one. That's just going to be me talking probably from my car. We'll see how that works out. In the meantime, I hope everything goes well for you this week. I hope you're having a good week so far. We got a lot of week left in the week. Well, we're almost halfway done, but it's plenty. I think I just messed up the background music. There's supposed to be background music coming in here as I was talking. I totally forgot to do that. All right, so just let me know what you think about the show, about the bots, all this stuff, and we'll go from there. I have, 574-651-7685. Let me know what you think about what I think, and we will go from there. It's been an hour-long show. Again, it's just amazing how fast time flies here. I'll get out there and mow that yard. Plan for some other things. I got so much to do this week. It's getting overwhelming sometimes, and summer's almost over now. So it feels like I'm getting close to the end of summer. Next month, should be interesting in terms of scheduling with the show as well. We'll go from there. We'll just take it as it comes and just figure it out. I don't know. Just do it on the fly, as they say. Probably be some shows from the boat. Actually, because the boat's going to be in the water. Next week, in the water. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for listening. See ya.